Yeah, hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo Abdelbaki, and today is the 20th of December, 2023. That's the last time I'm going to be able to say that this year, because this is the last live show of the season. That's right. Well, that sounds a little ominous. Yes, this is the last time that I'll be alive this year. The next time you hear me, I may not be alive. Well, that's not exactly how I meant it. But, well, let's hope that's not how it works out. The next time you hear me, I may not be alive. Well, isn't that weird? That's just as weird as it gets. Yes, it does. Pardon me. Yep, Mo does all them voices and they make him cough. That's right, they call him Coffee Mo. Speaking of which, I like the coffee. I'll have a little sip right now, if you don't mind. I don't usually drink that way, but I just wanted to prove to you that I'm actually drinking coffee. And decaf at that. Yep, I had to switch to decaf, which is all right. Just in case I have to. Might have been infecting my ears. Yep, they were getting all covered with hair. And they said, well, you know, your ears are getting covered with hair like a werewolf. And that might be because you drank coffee. So I quit drinking coffee. Should have just let my hairs just get covered with hair. There's nothing wrong with being hirsute. Hirsute. Crossword puzzle word. All sorts of crossword puzzle. What's wrong with me today? Oh, goodness. So, how you doing? I hope you're doing well. I actually do care, but the problem is you can't just yell out there, hey, Mo, I'm doing great. Or if you would, that would be nice. Just yell out, hey, Mo, I'm doing great. You can yell it at your phone now, and if you're in the past, which would be you listening to the future, if you said it in the past at the phone, in the present, then, no, wait a minute, I'm getting confused. Doesn't matter. Keep moving along. So, yeah, here we are at the 20th of 2023, and we're going to be off live. We'll still be on the air. It will be filled with things, and I'm going to do a prediction show. At least that's my intent right now, is to do a prediction show. And I'm planning on doing that between now and the beginning of the year. I guess I better get right down to it. There's not that much time left in this lovely year. Actually, 2023, I'm just going to say it. I'm an optimistic sort of guy because I just love life and I love the way things happen in life. But it hasn't been the easiest year. Yeah. So, I mean, last week when I was live on the air, remember I told you that old Santa had given me a call? And he said, Mo, we've got so much demand this year. Would you mind if I sent some elves over to do some work in your house? And I said, no. I should have told my wife about it, but I did not. I did not warn her that this was going to be happening. I suppose it would have been the right thing to do, but no, you know. So suddenly there were all these elves in the house. And the thing about elves is that they clean up so well. But it was loud and noisy. And if you listen to last week's show, which is on demand at 12radio.com, go to On Demand and look for Mo and look for the show. I think I called it, Why Are These Elves Making So Much Noise When I'm Talking? Something to that effect. So subtle. And there you'll see that if you listen, my God, they were noisy. And, you know, bless them, I mean, they're making toys, you know, toys. And that's a good thing. They don't make, like, you know, computers and things like that. They just make toys. They leave the computer buying and the Lexus buying and the, you know, the puppy breeding and things like that to the adults. But the toy making, they make cool toys too. They make other stuff too for adults, but it's got to be like wood and, you know, that's just what they're, what's going on today? I'm just kind of flaky. And you're thinking to yourself, is that new? I've listened to this show before. I know that you're flaky a lot. If I look at my desk and look at the things that are on my desk, and there are lots of things on my desk, and there are things on top of things, on top of other things on my desk. I have vowed over the, God, there's an Oscar Mayer hot dog, not wiener whistle on my desk. There is a wiener whistle on my desk. There we go. That's one thing on my desk. I won't pick it up and blow it because it's loud and relatively obnoxious. 1, 2, 3 watches that I can see right now, wristwatches, and one on my wrist. A couple of lighters, and I don't smoke, but, you know, you're a man, or a human, I should say a human. I'm a man, and I'm a human as well, which is nice. You see, I can be a couple things at once. And some things here that probably you just would go, why? Why is that on your desk? Why? You know. My God. Some things on here that it makes just you think to yourself, well, I guess he's touched. That's about it from, oh, he's just, there's an hourglass precariously balanced on the table. With half of it off the table, I should probably put that back on there just a little bit more. That's better. And, there's my spare microphone. It's almost on the table. I really, you know, over the holiday season here, I like things balanced. My wife said to me, why do you always put everything at an angle? And I think it's because I like things cantilevered. I like cantilevers. I like things at angles. I don't like things neat and square, ship-shape, tidy. I've never kind of liked that. I've always liked things precariously balanced. I like that effect. Maybe it's from watching Roadrunner cartoons when I was a kid. I don't know if you noticed, but things were always kind of precariously balanced. And then every now and then, you have the inevitable slide, the inevitable imbalanced item, but for I mean, it really is kind of amazing when I look around here at my stuff. My cups and balls, which are magic trick, you know, and I've got that, and I've got a magic eight ball, which is so old that it no longer works. It's sad when that happens. I've got some marvelous stuff. I've got my magic wand, you know, Cocobolo with copper ends, and my bagpipe chanter, practice chanter. And I mean, I've got remarkable things. The tiny sarcophagus incense burner. It's not tiny. I mean, it's about, you know, 8 or 9 inches. I've just got my Spam can bank that I got from the actual Hormel company when I was working for them doing yo-yoing. That's a long story, you know. I mean, it's just really kind of something when you accumulate stuff. My lighthouse trumpet that was used to, you know, to warn ships away. I have what some people would call, even some people I live with, who would say it's all junk, you know, and must get rid of it. And it's like, no. Yeah, my Tibetan prayer wheel that sits on a table that is truly quite remarkable, that every time I pass it, I spin it. My Stonehenge pocket watch, which has a watch in it that is digital that hasn't worked from about a month after I bought it because the battery ran out. But when you open it up, it's a little model of Stonehenge and does absolutely nothing. But it's cool, you know. I mean, don't you accumulate stuff in your life? Well, that's kind of what this year's been like for me. This year has been a lot like that for me. It has been this precariously balanced junk slide getting ready to happen. You know, it's been that sort of year. Wow, it's been nuts. And so I like to kind of look at things and say, all right, what's going to happen next? Well, got another year coming. Of course, that's an arbitrary. You'd think trees would be in there somewhere, wouldn't you? Since it's about arbitrary demarcation of time. And because every day is a new year. You know, we have our birthdays, and theoretically, well, that's the beginning of a new year. That's our birthdays. Happy birthday. You know, happy birthday, Mo. Well, no, today's not my birthday. I'm a Taurus, you know. You can almost kind of tell, you know. But happy birthday comes along, and you say, well, this is a new year, and I know things are going to be different. And sometimes they're very different. Sometimes they're not. I'm going to probably predict in my prediction that the world is going to be pretty different. Things are changing. This last year has been rough. It's been a rough year. But I'm, as I said, I'm eternally optimistic. And I'm just kind of thinking, here we are in the Yule tide. When I was a kid, I thought that the Yule tide was like the tide of a bay or the tide of the sea, you know, and that it kind of came in, and that when it was over, it kind of went out. And I always thought it went out really fast because you could feel it coming in. You could feel that spirit come in. And of course, when you're a kid, it's all about the stuff. It's like, oh boy, here comes Christmas. You know, and all the stuff that comes along with it. And I don't remember celebrating Christmas in my family because my parents, you know, were Muslim, you know, and that was different. And they weren't like real, you know, they weren't like, you know, we can't let him do this, we can't let him. They weren't like that. I mean, I had a Santa Claus fixation from the time I can remember, from the time I was about three or four, I can remember really, really liking Santa Claus, even though I didn't get gifts that I recall, because that just wasn't part of the Egyptian thing. Actually, it wasn't even that they were of a different religion. It was that they were of a different culture completely. They had Father Christmas in Egypt, but he looked completely different. He just wore this red outfit with a hood, which I think is more of the British way than the French way, Père Noël, you know. And so when I turned about six, we got our first Christmas tree, and that was it. I mean, we just all loved it, especially my mom. My dad was always kind of like, oh, right, we have to bring this tree in, we have to set it up, and it has to fall over, and I have to set it up again, and then in the middle of the night, it has to fall over, you know, that sort of thing. But we all grew to love it so much. And the spirit of it, I used to feel, because they'd put the decorations up in the town. I grew up in a small town in northern Colorado, a college town where my dad taught. And it was amazing. And even though now I, you know, you see pictures of the decorations that were put up in that town, and they're kind of, I won't say they're nothing, but they weren't really spectacular. But to us, they were magical, you know. They were just spectacular. Of course, back in the late 50s and the early 60s, you know, you could put a, you know, piece of cellophane over a light bulb and you were in awe of it. But, oh my, things have changed. Things have changed. Some things for the better, some things for the not so better, I think. But we could get warm fuzzies so easily. And I kind of miss that warm fuzzy feel from so easily. I don't know. Maybe you do too. Maybe you don't. It was a wonderful time back then. And that Yule tide, of course, all that means, of course, is just the Yule time, you know. But man, it was this this wave of excitement and this wave of something special coming in. And I could feel it. And it was the toy. I mean, I knew I was going to get, usually it was a toy. So you had to pick out the one that you were going to obsess about and leave the, just like Ralphie and Toy Story, you left the magazine open to it. It was usually the Sears catalog or the Montgomery Ward's catalog, and you'd leave it open, and you wouldn't drop a hint and say, this is what I want. And they'd look at it and they'd go, that's ridiculous. That's too much. You know, I still go through that now. You know, I've always been in a position to kind of, just say, oh, it's really bad. I want this. So, you know, but even at almost 70 years old, who knows why? Yeah, it's in my chart, I guess. Yeah, he will be perennially a child. I was in a situation yesterday where a decision had to be made. And so I made the decision and it was instantly it was vetoed, not just by me, but by two people. And I thought, oh, the adults have spoken. And I thought, okay, well, that's just the way that it goes. I can get my way if I really want to. I have to stomp my feet and you know, do that thing where you cry and you lose your breath. You can't, you know, you just kind of open your mouth and go, you know. But I didn't feel like doing that. Just didn't think it wasn't the right time. It wasn't, you have to plan and pick your fights. And that wasn't it. Yeah. And when that's right, it's right, you know, and that wasn't it. So it was something about the house, and I'm not gonna do that for the house. It's just not the right time. So you just do what you have to do, don't you? You just do what you have to do. So it's funny, I've never grown up. You know, I've never grown up. That's a fact, isn't it? I'm just realizing that. I have had the good fortune to be able to do what I do in my life. Oh, wow. I mean, for a good part of my life, I played with yo-yos and tops and taught kids origami and cartooning and how to make paper airplanes and throw them properly, and wow, you know, yeah, let's do this, how to do ventriloquism and magic tricks and kids, and watch the expressions on their faces when they did something like that for the first time, and see the absolute joy. Oh my God, I've had a pretty good run of things. And I was a reader at the same time, because that was, boy, you talk about a first love, that little tingle, you know, and just realizing how beautiful the opportunity of life is to be able to follow your dream. I mean, my first dream, of course, was to, I wanted to be an Egyptologist, and then when I met Egyptologists, nothing against them, they're beautiful people, but they weren't on my path, which was metaphysics, which was the occult, which was magic, which was the spiritual path. That a lot of them are very deeply spiritual, and now more so than ever. Now they're into the stuff I'm into, but they wouldn't necessarily be into Crowley, and they wouldn't necessarily be into, you know, a lot of the stuff that I've studied and done. So you get to a point in life and you look back on the tide, the Yule tide, the way it feels and the way it's felt in your life, and you realize just how powerful that tide is. And there was always a point where it just washed over you and you said, yeah, I felt it. And you feel it real, real powerfully. And you say, man, I love the way this feels. I just love the way this feels. And you, then it's just like it's there. and you feel the warm fuzzies, and it's just, you know, jingle bells and everything else. James Lord Pierpont, we talked about him. I think I mentioned a song came on, and my wife turned to me and say, "What horrible story are you going to tell me about this song now?" And I said, "Shut up, Mo." And I did. I stayed silent. You know, I kept quiet. Because, yeah, there was a story. But I decided not to. It just wasn't worth it. Coffee Mo, remember? Coffee Mo. Decaf, but coffee nevertheless. So, it's an amazing thing this time of year. And especially since what it represents and what it has represented for tens of thousands of years to our ancestors. I wrote my column last week about that. I wrote on there, you know, I mean no disrespect, but it really is the reason for the season, and that's the solstice, which is tomorrow evening. Tomorrow evening. And you don't need to worry about the time or anything, but I always like to take a moment on the solstice and just say, wow, this is it. That's when the center of the earth hits the solstice point. And that is the lowest point on the horizon, you see. That's when the sun actually hits the lowest point on the horizon. I wrote that wrong in my article. I said when the center of the earth, well, that's the equinox. It's fair. Fair point. When the equinox hits the, when the center of the earth hits the equinoctial point, which is due east or west. But when the sun hits the lowest point on the horizon that it can go, 23.5 degrees south of the ecliptic, or 23.5 degrees north of the ecliptic. So either way, it's fine, you know. But when that imaginary point, it's not an imaginary point, it's a real point, but it is kind of just a, it's just a point, you see. When that happens, something miraculous occurs. And that is that. Everything changes. Everything changes. And what changes is that there is an opening into time, an opening from the present into eternity. And what do I mean by that? Well, man, you don't have any idea what's going to happen after that. You have no idea what is going to happen after that. Our ancestors had no clue. Because the sun gets lower and lower. You can see it. There's this little arc it makes, more or less. I'll call it a little arc. This little arc it makes, and it goes, you know, woo, it rises in the east. And it goes, woo, just this little, woo, right? And about 4 o'clock, 4:15, something like that, it just drops out of the sky into the night, you know? And that's, it's gone. It's gone. And you think to yourself, wow, this isn't like summertime when it's there forever. It rises way early in the summer, and it drops really low. Like, I got up this morning about 7 o'clock. I usually get up later than that because I stay up really late. That's just how I am. So I got up about 7, and the sun hadn't risen yet. Hadn't arisen. Hadn't gotten up. Hadn't get. It hadn't. Heading, it was still below the horizon, Mo. You know, one of those things. And it was weird because I thought, man, it's still dark out. What is it, 4 and 3, 2? I mean, you know. And that's the way it is this time of year. And it just makes this little blippy arc. And they used to watch it every day, and they would mark it against the trees, you know, or the mountains or whatever. And they'd say it's getting lower and lower. And at that very lowest point on the solstice, a door opens into eternity. And so you build monuments to that. All over the world, there are monuments to that. One of the greatest is Stonehenge, which builds a monument to it. which builds a monument to all those interesting phenomena. And our ancestors said, we need to know when this is happening. And you know what else we need to know about? We need to know about the eclipses, because those are just freaky. When something like that happens, and you know, I've been one to go out and look at eclipses my whole life. I think I'm done with that. The solar eclipse of 17, I'm convinced it didn't do anybody any good. I went out and I looked at it with my eclipse glasses that I got somewhere inexpensively, you know, a couple of bucks. But I don't think it did the world any good. I've come to realize many cultures, including the Navajo, are incredibly wary of the eclipses and say, don't go out and look at the eclipses. Go inside. Don't work. Don't do anything. Just sit down and talk, or just sit down and be silent. You're not supposed to do any work. You're not, in India, they go inside and they shut it down. And I'm thinking, you know what? My brothers had been trying to talk me to, because they're going to be there. They live in Texas and they live right under where that eclipse is going to happen. And they say it's next year. It's in April. And they've been saying, come on down, come on down. I think it's on April 20th, which is Adolf Hitler's birthday. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know if I like that. You know, it's also 420, which is not what people think it is. You know, the big smot poking. The big smot poking day. That's a spoonerism, you know. But anyway, so I'm thinking there's something about that I just don't like anymore. I've thought too much about it, and I've paid too much attention to it. I've seen a lot of eclipses. I've never seen a true solar eclipse. I'm thinking this is probably, obviously, the last one in my lifetime that I have a shot to see. And, you know, I like my brothers, and I wouldn't mind hanging out with them and watching a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse, and you get to see the corona and drink one at the same time. How often does that happen? Which is exactly what I would do. If I was down there, I would have a corona, and I would watch a corona. But I'm thinking, I don't know. You know what I mean? Look what has happened in the world since that last eclipse, especially in this country. And it happened all over the world, but come on. I don't know. I mean, I'm not superstitious, but I've been doing the work that I do for a very, very long time. So I'll think about it. I'll let you know when I decide. I mean, it's not that far away. We're talking about 4 months from now. 4 months from now. Well, exactly 5 months from now. I doubt I'll go anywhere. I don't like to travel anymore. To be honest with you, I've never liked traveling. I've never enjoyed it. I don't mind getting there. I don't mind seeing there when I'm there. But getting there, being there, seeing there, you know, I like eating out. I enjoy that, you know. And down in Texas, where they live, they have a lot of really good food. All sorts of food. Different types of food. But getting there, great honk. It is just a long way to go. And it's a big state. I mean, I was in Texas for 3 days once. 3 days. It took me a long time to get through there. So I'm thinking about not doing that. And maybe if I went down there, I might decide I'm not going to watch this thing, you know. Yeah, I have a nephew I've never met. And he's, I think, almost, I don't know, I think he's 8 or 9 or, you know. And my brother said to me just yesterday, he said, you know, I'd like him to meet you. And I said, yeah, before I kick. And he didn't say, oh, don't say that. He said, yeah. And I thought, wow. But that's a reality in life. That's the great door opening. That's the great door opening. That's when you say, wow. That's what Stonehenge represented. That's why they wanted to know when these things happened, because that's the mystery. And that's what the Yuletide represented to them. And they wanted a certainty. They said, if we can look at this and may be certain about it, so tomorrow represents that moment of mystery. Tomorrow is that moment of mystery. So I always look at it with great respect and great love. It's a time of great love, the winter solstice. I mean, right now I'm sitting here in my office, which I affectionately call the Bat Cave. And someone's going to someday sue me for that, maybe, although I don't make any money on a show, you know. And it's cold. It's cold in this room because it's winter where I live. You know, if you're in New Zealand or Australia, you're not cold unless you want it to be cold. Then you might have the air conditioner on. But in the Northern Hemisphere, we're in winter. And it's a lot warmer here than it's been in the last 50 years, 60 years, 70,000 years. Because things are changing. And so there's even a bigger mystery. What is happening? And you look at what's happening politically and you say, what is happening? And you look at what's going on politically and you say, what is happening? So they turned to people like me, who used their tarot cards, you know? Sitting right here, they cast a chart, or they throw bones or dice, which are sometimes called bones. I devised an oracle with dice. I think works really well. I have sitting not too far from me here some black and white beads that I strung up that use the I Ching. Works splendidly. Splendidly. You ask a question, you get all 64 hexagrams out of these beads. Dragon beads, they're called. I didn't invent them, but I sure use them. Quick, to the point, easy. You don't need the book. If you know the hexagrams, you don't have to know them all that well. You're going for a quick and down and dirty answer. Man, it's right there. The universe speaks all the time. Nature speaks all the time. And that's the problem with us, is that we have quite forgotten to speak to nature and how to speak to nature. I consider myself an elementalist. And I don't know what that means. Some people say I'm just mental, you know. And they might not be wrong. But we who dwell in that realm of walking in different places, you know. And it is like that. I don't know how else to explain it, but I'm not always here, so to speak. And that sounds weird. I know that sounds weird, but I don't mean it quite the way it sounds. But I don't always walk only in this particular plane. I don't know how else to put it. But for example, I once did some shamanistic work. I do that a lot, actually. But I used a flute that I have. It's an Anasazi flute. I made the horrible mistake of inflicting that upon you once, where I played that flute, and it was just cacophonous, but it was such fun. And I did some overlapping sounds, and it was, like I said, it was fun. I don't think it meant too much, I had a good time. But it's an end-blown flute, and it's very cool, and it was obviously to me for shamanistic purposes, you know. The original way the indigenous people of this nation, of this country, of this land, the tribes, they used tobacco, was to roll the leaves up and to put them in their nose and to light the end and then snort it in. And then they would knock them out and they would have hallucinations. That's one way they used them. Of course, then they used them as sacred, as a sacred plant in their ceremonies. I've actually attended pipe ceremonies with a pipe holder. He walks the red road, and he was a pipe carrier made of redstone, and just wonderful stuff. And you get involved in these First Nations rituals, and they're beautiful and they're powerful. I was in a sweat lodge where all I experienced was, I think, a great healing, because I had just come out of having double pneumonia and almost died. I thought the sweat lodge was going to kill me. It was the hottest lodge this fellow had ever given, he said. It was just remarkable. And he said he could feel many presences, but they were just there to just sweat this sickness out of me, which I think it actually helped. There is such power around us. The elements themselves, you see. And our ancestors knew this. And so this day tomorrow is incredibly important. This day tomorrow, the winter solstice, is unbelievably important. On the solstice, they used to ring bells. Ring the solstice bells. Ring the solstice bells. Yeah. Well, that's tomorrow. And what happened was that the sun would then stop its downward spiral, because that really is what it is. It's a spiral because, well, I'm not going to talk about it, but if you look at it and think about it in the sense of what it does every day, it goes up and it goes down anyway, and it kind of moves, you see. But, and the same happens when it rises. It rises, it rises, it rises, and until it hits the Tropic of Cancer, what we call the Tropic of Cancer, which actually now happens in Gemini. When you stop and think about it, I call them the corners, because I'm a Vedic astrologer, and that's where these things happen. But it doesn't matter. But the precession of the equinox, everything has changed, because things always change. But tomorrow, the winter solstice, is the opening of the door into the mystery. And if you just take some time and say to yourself, I live in the mystery. I honor the mystery. I like to engage in that mystery somehow. I like to make a little music. I like to celebrate with that. If you don't make music, put on something you like, you know. I like the Grateful Dead. That's not a surprise. People usually know that about me. Put on something that means something to you. If you have something that you like to listen to, something that is warm, something that transcends this normal plane for you, something that reminds you of something that was immensely powerful for you. I was going to tell you, I was on the Anasazi flute, as it's so called. It's an emblem flute, like a ney, like many emblem flutes, like a kaval. There's lots of them. And I was taken somewhere and I was shown something. It was a date scratched into a piece of metal. I had never had seen anything like it before. It was an actual date scratched into metal, and it was rusty, and I thought, what is this? And when I checked on the date, it took me a long time to figure it out, because the date itself didn't mean much until I found one reference to it, and it was the answer to an important question I had been asking. And it was the only possible answer to that question. And it was something I'd never heard of it before, but it was the only possible answer to that question. It's kind of personal. I'm not going to talk about it, but it was so brilliant. And I realized that it was nothing I could have known. And you realize in that moment how genuine this world of ours is, the world of the mysteries, the world of the what we call the supernatural, but I don't believe in the supernatural because it's all natural, because it's all real, because it's all exactly what it is. It's genuine. It is as genuine as time and space right now, right here. And that moment is gone. There is no such thing as the present because it's constantly moving. So you can't stand still in time because time moves around us. I'm always reminded of a rock in a mountain river. I used to watch the rock. We would go up to what was known as the Big Thompson Canyon. In here in Colorado, and we would have picnics when I was a kid, and it was really beautiful. There was a place called the Loveland Waterworks, and above Loveland, Colorado, and it was beautiful. It was a picnic ground. It was green. It was lush. It was well maintained. It's gone now after a flood in '76, which was tragic, but it was just unbelievable, and it had grape leaves growing everywhere, wild grape leaves, and my mom would pick them and take them home, and we'd have stuffed grape leaves, you know. And it was, is she a cook. Boy, was she something. Wow, she was quite a lady, actually. And, wow. And one time the park ranger came over, and he said, Madam, what are you doing? And she said, I'm picking grape leaves. He said, why? She said, I cook with them. He said, really? She said, is it okay? He said, yeah, I guess so. She said, do you want some? And he said, well, one day we went up there and she brought him some. And he tried them and he loved them, you know. It was really kind of cool. So I was a kid and we would take a watermelon and put it in the water, you know. And my dad, being a vet, he knew that you had to kind of clean it off. You don't want Giardia getting into the watermelon. And so he'd clean it off with, like, you know, some water, which we'd bring from home before we did it. But it would get ice cold. And I fell in, you know. And it was cold. And I remember feeling like that water could really take me. It was swift. I was very close to the shore, you know, to the bank. But I just felt it. It was ice cold and it was trying to pull me out. I was pretty safe, but I was also very wet and very cold and kind of humiliated. And I got back in and I saw this big rock out in the center. And I looked at that rock and it was smooth. And I thought, how long has that rock been there? And I watched and I became kind of, I don't know what the word would be, hypnotized by the sight of that rock just standing there as this river went around it. And I don't know, I was probably 8. And all I could think of was that was what time was. That rock was us and time was the river rushing around it. Day and night, night and day, that rock. And every time we went there, I would go. The first thing I would do would be to go and look at that rock. That rock was always there. And it represented us, and time was what rushed around it. And I think that blew my mind. That absolutely blew my mind. That's the solstice tomorrow. It opens the door to eternity. And to the mystery. And so we get a chance to say, I want some stability here. So what happens is on tomorrow, the solstice, well, for one thing, I change my toothbrush on the solstices and the equinoxes. So every 3 months. That seems like a good idea. So what happens is the sun is at its lowest point. Is it going to go lower? Because if it goes lower, we're going to freeze to death. The crops won't come back. We're going to not make it. There won't be a future for mankind. So you think about that. And you allow yourself the ability to feel that primal fear and to revel in it and to be excited by that, because they used to love it. They would have a little party, you know. That's where a lot of these strange things, like in Wales, they would have horses that were skeleton horses. You know, they would have skeleton horses. People dress up with horse skulls and they'd ride around. And then you have Krampus. You know, Krampus, this demon who beats children. And I mean, it's the dark side of the Yuletide. I mean, you have to realize that there is a bit of fear with that. I mean, sure, a lump of coal is not a great thing to get in your stocking, but that's the easy part of it. You can throw it in the fire and you have, you know, you've contributed. Being bad means you get to contribute to the heat of the family. But in reality, you should allow yourself to say, will things get better? Will things get good? So we've all been asking those questions lately. Are things going to get better? Are things going to... My God, is this totalitarian dictator going to be... No, he's not. But feel it. Ask the question. Say, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? No, it's not going to happen. Talking to my brother, he said, I don't know, he could become, people like him. I said, don't worry, the right people don't like him. And he said, who's that? I said, the right people. The right people don't want him in. And by that I meant the people who have the energetic power to say no. And those are the people who believe. Those are the people who have the power of belief. But like back in the last election, where the people, I knew, you have to know. You have to know. You know, you just have to, I'm not trying to be political here, I'm just trying to be real about it. There are times when things happen and you go, what? But this is not one of those times. This is a time when you say, but I know. And when you have the knowledge of wisdom, and wisdom is when you know something based upon what you've seen and learned from the past. And I've been around for a while. I've been on this rock for a while now, and I've been pretty observant, even though I spend a lot of my time in la-la land, you know, just kind of la-la-la-la-la-la-la, thinking about other things and meditating and contemplating, I've also paid attention. So the 21st brings the opening of that door. And for 3 days, the sun stays at that low point. And people are, whoa, and they celebrate. They celebrate by telling stories. Why do you think the Brits tell ghost stories at Christmas? That's what they do. The Christmas Carol is a ghost story. And in England, on TV, they show ghost stories at Christmas. Why do they do that? Because that's wonderful. You tell a little ghost story, right? You feel a little bit of that chill. And you watch the sun. 1, 2, 3 days. So the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th. And every day you do something, you do something, you do something, right? You have a little observance of some sort. And on the 25th, what happens? The sun gets a little bit higher in the sky, right? The sun gets a little bit higher in the sky. Guess what? There's gonna be a future. There's gonna be a future. There's gonna be a new year, a new cycle. It's gonna get warm again. There's gonna be food. There's gonna be laying out on the beach, you know. There's gonna be pickleball, badminton, bocce, croquet. I mean, it's coming back. And the cycle will happen time and time again. Now, the people who have wisdom based upon what they know from the past They sit back and they laugh. Ha! This is fun. We know what's coming. It's like it's Samhain, which is the new year, which is the veil at its very thinnest. Right? The veil at its very thinnest. They laugh about it. They have a good time because they know that even though the veil is thin, that those on the other side don't want to come back and grab us and take them with us. That at the very most, they may want to visit and say hi. And say, hey, you know, miss you. Or, not so much. I'm okay. That the heaven's gate has been opened. And that all of those who have been waiting to go back to whatever that process is going to go. Right? They're going to get on the train. That train that's bound for the other side. Now, during the Tropic of Cancer, on the summer solstice, it's all aboard for planet Earth. That was a belief at one time. That the heaven's gate, as they called it, opened up. I think the word heaven is, you know, ill-used. But that idea that all the souls that would be born on the summer solstice, they hopped on that train or whatever it was, and an omnibus, and down it came, and they all just hung out until they could be born. I love that. I love that idea. So there are these millions and millions of souls just waiting to come on into our incarnation. And we're talking, you know, human beings and goats and insects. And, you know, of course, many people would say, oh, but an insect has no soul. Pshaw. Rubbish. Everything that is the creation of nature, even a daffodil, has something. It's all part of the same thing, isn't it? It's all part of the same thing, no matter what you want to call it, even if you just want to call it the Big Bang. And now, with the Hubble telescope, they're beginning to say maybe there wasn't a Big Bang after all. So, tomorrow's the day. The day of the big mystery. And on the 25th, the mystery's answered. So we got the 21st. And then 3 days. Midsummer's Eve. Midsummer. Midwinter's Eve. That was on the 24th. Okay? Enjoy it. Love it. Embrace it. Take it to heart. Use it. Use it to fulfill yourself. Use it to bathe in the wonder of our ancestors who had a simpler time but a much more difficult time. They knew how to live. They knew a lot of things. They understood things, I think, a lot better than we do. I really do. All right, friends. Like I said, I'll be back on the 10th of January. So, I'll miss you. You know I will. Because it's obvious, should be obvious to you, that I need this. I really do. I really do. But I also love doing this. And I love you. I wish you a happy holiday season. And I wish you good, good health, physically, spiritually, and mentally. Do have a good solstice, will you? Do have a good midwinter. Merry Christmas. Happy everything there is, okay? And the full moon is on the 26th. Those of you who celebrate Boxing Day, you welcome that moon. You should all welcome that full moon. Go outside. Welcome the full moon. He welcomes you every month. He does. She does. There is a woman in the moon, you know. There is. All right. Until next year, I wish you all peace and, oh my God, love. Talk to you later.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism. And this is the most popular.